Welcome to Mercer's Have You Heard podcast. I'm happy to welcome on Heather Thomas, who's going to talk to us a little bit about mobility and mobility trends in the world right now. So thanks so much for being here, Heather. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Great. So let's start by talking about AI, because obviously it's a hot topic across all industries and around the world. Can you tell us more about AI generally and in the mobility space?
Yes, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with AI as the hot topic that everyone in today's workforce and also in the mobility world is talking about. AI has probably overtaken employee experience, which we'll get to shortly, as the current buzzword. I do think that employee experience is still the top priority for mobility practitioners, but they're extremely interested in how AI can not only enhance employee experience, but can also help with their own internal mobility practitioner experience. In particular, we can use AI to create capacity to enable mobility professionals to dedicate their time to more strategic business partnering versus administrative or operational tasks. For example, the well-being of their mobile employees, more frequent check-ins, integration of mobility to the organization's talent strategy, succession planning, et cetera. All the things we'd love to do if we had more time without being bogged down by our recurring or administrative tasks. I think the AI train took off really quickly with the introduction of generative AI, and at this point, it's almost embarrassing to admit that you haven't jumped on board yet. But it's not too late. We definitely have the opportunity to embrace this now and learn these skills and tools so that we can be valuable in a future workforce that's going to increasingly rely on this stuff. While we shouldn't view AI as a threat, I think in the future workforce, those who embrace the possibilities of AI will certainly be ahead of others who resist change. In terms of some of the tasks that AI can help with, what I've observed is that while there are definitely some AI champions and early adopters in the mobility industry, a lot of other people feel kind of overwhelmed and aren't quite sure where to start. I think it's helpful to actually see someone use AI in practice or to talk about the specific tasks you can use it for rather than just talking at a high level.
Absolutely. So diving into that a little bit further, what about ways that people are implementing and making the most of the AI technology right now?
Mercer just published an article in the past few weeks with some practical ideas for mobility practitioners. To give you a high-level sense, we all have a ton of data and spreadsheets, and we can use AI to help analyze large amounts of data. Maybe you ask it to give you the average spend on temp living, and it can tell you within seconds. It can help with cost management, bringing clarity on your expenses and identifying duplicated efforts or a waste of resources. Or perhaps perform some supplier analytics, or can help with budgets and forecasting, and then can update those when you provide updated variables. It can also help automate daily tasks. This could mean that an autonomous agent or an avatar, or perhaps just a chatbot, can help counsel the employee on the basics of their relocation. This could be done in a really personalized way so the assignee would get the experience that is best for them. It can provide analytics of what mobility benefits are used and valued by your assignees, which can help in policy development or revision. All these ideas aside, I do want to note that the first and most critical consideration is the evaluation of AI-associated risk at the corporate level. Most organizations now have clear guidance and governance approaches to managing this AI-related risk. So before you consider using any form of AI in your program, you should ensure that it's been appropriately vetted. If your organization already has some vetted AI tools, I recommend starting to play around with them. If it does not, or if it doesn't have guardrails in place, then I recommend checking out the recent Mercer article called The AI Advantage: Practical Applications for Talent Mobility to help get you thinking.
Awesome. And I will go ahead and post that for our audience as well so they can have access to that article. Earlier, you mentioned AI replacing employee experience as a hot topic. Can you expand on employee experience a little bit and why that still may be somewhat of a ongoing trend?
Sure. An increased focus on employee experience is not a new trend per se. We've really seen it increasing and continuing to increase since we came out of the pandemic, following all the various lifestyle expectations that individuals developed during that experience. However, More recently, I think the conversation has gotten a bit more nuanced. What we're seeing at Mercer is alignment of our clients' mobility programs and policies to focus on the individual employee experience. And when we talk about employee experience, that extends to all members of the family that are impacted by a relocation. How this has manifested is an increase in flexibility so that employees will have a positive perception of the relocation support they receive and that they will feel it works for them. This includes what they receive, but also how the support is delivered. A recent Mercer study found that 82% of companies report that they're reviewing or have a plan to review the flexibility of their policies. With this increase in flexibility, we've seen a focus on providing either core flex packages, which we often refer to as Care Flex, which would involve partnering with external vendors that have a technology platform that can support this type of service delivery in a seamless way, or to providing lump sum packages where the assignees can spend as they choose, driven by the recognition that everyone's an individual and there's no one size fits all approach anymore. I do want to be clear that a lump sum approach isn't right for everyone or for every organization, and it does impact employee experience. So, if it's something you're considering, I recommend putting a lot of thought and analysis into this and reach out to Mercer. We can help. And actually, what we're seeing now is companies stopping to think hard about this approach towards lump sum packages. If you're moving to lump sums and asking the employee to plan their own relocation without a relocation management company's help, there is tremendous risk. From a duty of care and risk management perspective, it may be wiser to offer some element of flexibility, but to partner with a smart and effective technology partner who can help. So, informed choice rather than just endless choices. So, kind of along the same lines as our first trend, we're encouraging our clients to really embrace and incorporate new technology innovation here. And while this kind of technology isn't something that Mercer offers, we've worked with our clients to help them identify the right partner and technology platform. We've helped a lot of our clients do vendor scans, taking a quick look at the market for these types of vendor partners and platforms, and then with running RFIs or RFPs. So if that's something you're thinking about, Mercer can help.
Awesome. So far, we've covered AI, we've covered employee experience. What other trends do you think are perhaps pertinent for this audience, or anything else you can tell us about the mobility trends?
I'd like to close with ESG, which stands for environmental, social, and governance, and the frameworks that organizations have around this. Partially driven by younger generations becoming a bigger part of the workforce and the fact that they tend to have really strong environmental and sustainability priorities, organizations are increasingly focused on ESG, and this can be a differentiator when attracting and retaining talent. One way this plays out within the mobility space is that we're seeing more and more RFIs and RFPs asking about vendor partner ESG initiatives and their impact. Another way this is playing out, there's a push to ensure that an assignment is really necessary in the first place, since it's the assignment itself that creates the most environmental and social impact, especially in emerging markets. So factoring in at some level, if the talent needs can be met in some less environmentally and socially disruptive way, such as a shorter assignment virtually, using a reverse assignment, or whether regional or local talent markets can be tapped into instead. And a third way this is manifesting is that organizations are trying to think of creative ways to contribute to ESG initiatives via their mobility programs. When you think about plane travel, shipping goods, et cetera, mobility in general has traditionally not been the most ESG-friendly activity. However, some ideas and trends we're hearing about in this space are an increased use of furnished housing rather than shipping furniture. However, furnished housing isn't an option in all locations, so we're also seeing an increased use of furniture allowances as another way to avoid shipping furniture. Establishing furniture allowances can be tricky, and we've helped clients by creating calculators based on location and family size or number of bedrooms. But there are other methodologies to create a furniture allowance as well. A recent client felt that a taxable cash allowance equal to the cost of an outbound shipment was appropriate for them, considering they were still saving on not paying for a return shipment. When the assignment is over, there are discard and donate services, or some large retailers have launched exchange programs and accept used furniture that they can then offer on a resale basis. So basically, these types of offerings are utilizing a more sustainable way of purchasing and a more circular economy, and further push employers to feel comfortable straying away from traditional shipping of household goods. For transportation, we've seen clients incentivizing sustainable options. So, for example, a higher public transportation allowance than private transportation allowance, maybe an icon next to the public transportation option, so people know they're selecting something sustainable when they go with this option. Write other incentives into your policy, not shipping a car, biking to work. Write some incentives into your policy so that the more they do, the more they benefit. So, just some ideas about ways that organizations are contributing to their ESG initiatives via their mobility program.
That's great. I love those sort of creative solutions, and I hope that we're moving even more so into that direction. I want to thank you so much for taking the time and giving us some of these trends. Obviously, there's so much more to know, and there's plenty of mobility content that can also be found on TAP. But I do just want to thank you again for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Great. Happy to be here. Thank you.